Pastor. Please open your Bibles to the book of Mark, and then we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. Does everybody have a handout? Anybody not have a handout? Who doesn't have a handout? Raise your hand. Ushers, we have any more handouts? Can you help us? Right over here. Anybody else? Okay. We've often said it's not original, but actually John sent me, that was called Agenda, right? Agenda. I think the name of it was Agenda. It's actually a long clip. and the clip or whatever you call it, the movie or I don't know what you call it, they said this isn't, we call something a conspiracy is if, you know, they're going under the radar and, yeah, maybe this isn't true. But they said it's a documentary. They said this documentary is not a conspiracy, it's an agenda. An agenda is something that is laid out, it's just very clear. And it sure seems that there's been, I don't want to go on to it because I don't have time to go over my message tonight, really. But there's an agenda to just knock out the foundation of our culture and of our society to make it something that this country was never intended to be. And part of it is to mess up the family. We have a weak nation because we have weak communities. We have weak communities because we have weak churches. We have weak churches because we have weak families. We have weak families because we have weak men. And we have weak men because they're not being taught. By the way, men, you could be like Abraham Lincoln. Be self-taught. Okay? Somebody can say amen right there. Learn yourself. We live in it. You say, well, you know, we go to church. That's good. And it's good. Thank God we have men in church tonight. Thank God we see men in the church. But men, it's not just providing. I mean, you're worse than infidel if you don't provide for your own. But listen, we need to be men of wisdom. We need to see what's going on. We need to understand what is happening in the world. Protect our family from the world. Teach them how to face what they will have to face. Learn to have discernment on what's going on in the home. But you can never get enough of what God says about the family. One of my daughters sent me this article. I'll read part of it. I don't even know if there's Time Magazine anymore. Maybe it's online or something. But Time Magazine, they had an article that said, it's called The Problems with 17-Year-Olds Who Hang Out with 17-Year-Olds. If you don't listen to the preacher, you might want to listen to Time Magazine. Okay, well, what's the point? Teenagers don't have much to give to each other. Okay, my kids, they have friends and acquaintances. But listen, my kids, first of all, they don't have cell phones. Thanks. Good. And I'll make this announcement, everyone. I don't think a teenager needs a cell phone. Well, what do they do if there's an emergency? Let's see. What did we used to do? I was walking down the street today, and I heard someone say, "Help me! Help me!" And looking, and I'm trying to hear. I can hear, but I'm trying to spot where the voice is coming. Help me. I walk a little bit more, and I hear the voice is coming from this house. And I thought, wow, maybe I'll be a hero here. Maybe I'll come, and, you know, maybe I'll be in the newspaper, and who knows what will happen. And I saw an elderly lady in the front, and she's saying, she didn't have much voice, help me. And I went over there, and I said, I'm here to help you. And she was just going a little senile, and I was trying to help her a little bit. And I said, are you sick? And she talked. She was okay. And I said, anybody live with you? But where did that come from? Anyway, what did we used to do? Scream. Get on a payphone. Go scream. Kids don't need cell phones. By the way, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't let your teenagers have a cell phone. And I preached at Brother Goddard's youth conference, and I thought, oh, my soul, I don't know if I want to preach. I just really believe what the Lord wanted me to preach the night I preached. It was about just technology and pornography and how it's just wrecking our country. And I did the one sermon I did a few weeks ago. You know, had all the guns and the BB guns and the slingshots over here, and we had the iPods and all that stuff over here. But let's get to the lesson. I'm chasing too many rabbits here. I'm not going to read this. Let's look at number one, and what we're going to do. And I taught through the book of Proverbs once, and I taught how to have a fool detector. You say, what's a fool detector? You remember, and I haven't seen people do this for a long time, but there would be times when you go to the beach and they'd have these metal detectors. Remember that? And it was more of a hobby. I don't know if anybody got rich on it. And they'd have these metal detectors on the beach, and they'd walk around, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 beep. And there was Rosie Bonilla's wedding ring. there's rings and there's coins and so forth. The Bible gives us a fool detector. It's all in Proverbs. The Bible says fools are very destructive. And I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I want to last week we talked about what the Bible says about having the hearts of our children. You can make a lot of mistakes as a parent if you have the hearts of your children. And we're not encouraging to make mistakes. But you can have everything just about perfect, but if you don't have your children's heart, you're going to lose them. And so you got to have their hearts. We spent most of the time last week talking about that. And then look at number one in your handout. I hope I have the same handout you do. If not, mine's better than yours, okay? As parents, we must know where we are going with our children, okay? Look at Mark chapter 12 and letter A. I think it's in your outline. Letter A, a wholehearted commitment to God. As parents, we need to know where we are going with our children. And letter A is a wholehearted commitment to God. Of course, this is very familiar. These are very familiar scriptures, but we need to apply them to our families. Mark chapter 12, in very familiar scripture, verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so as a parent, we must know where we're going with our children. Letter A, wholehearted commitment to God. Letter B, a wholehearted commitment to others. And parents, we can choose to do it however we want. But if we're going to do it according to God's word, our goal should be that our children love God with all their heart. That's our goal. Our goal should not be that our children don't get in trouble. I don't want my children to get in trouble. But if our children love God with all their heart, they're probably not going to get in trouble much. Our goal should not necessarily be, and I'll talk about this tomorrow night some, or Sunday night some, our goal should not necessarily be that our boys know how to work, but boys should know how to work, okay? We have effeminate boys. They have effeminate pants. They have effeminate haircuts. They talk effeminate. Their hands are soft. Whatever happened to good old masculine, godly young men? Guys, quit getting your dress. You're not wearing a dress, but you know what I'm talking about. Your attire, the way you look, the way you have your hair, the way you talk from Hollywood. But we're not talking about that. Here's the thing. Our goal should be to rear up and train our children to love God with everything that's in their being. That's number one. Then to love our neighbors as ourselves. Years ago, we've studied and read books but I heard this one message. It's just these sort of child training experts, and they said, you know, the real measure of your effective scriptural child rearing is how much your children live for others. How much your children live for others. My kids don't want to live for others. Look at number two. Other than God's word and your children's choices, the people your children associate with will determine their destination. Okay? Other than God's word and your children's choices, by the way, the reason we mentioned our children's choices is because we have a free will. The children that are in our homes, we don't believe in soul liberty when they live in our home, right? Okay? But one of these days, they're going to be out of the home, and they're going to make some of their own choices. But other than God's word and your children's choices, the people your children associate with will determine their destination. Look at letter A underneath that. Keep your spiritual children, and we talked last week about spiritual children. These principles can be applied to our spiritual children, and of course, we're talking a little bit more specific about our own biological children. Keep your spiritual children and biological children away from fools. Now let's go over to Proverbs 13. We're gonna all leave here, and we're gonna have fool detectors. Okay? Oh, but Pastor, they're so nice. If they're a fool, you shouldn't be their companion. Okay? Love them. Give them the gospel. They're a Christian. You be nice to them. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be what, class? Well, let's say it again. Shall be what, class? Destroyed. Wow, that's a pretty heavy word. That could say could be hurt, or can be stumbled, or could cause a boo-boo. Destroys a pretty strong word. The companion of a fool shall be destroyed. Now, if God's word be true, and if it is true, isn't it? This is very important. This is called biblical separation. Okay? There's personal separation. There's ecclesiastical separation. But this is just plain old-fashioned separation. Walk with wise men and you'll be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So if we're parents, we want to do everything that we possibly can to keep our children away from fools. It doesn't say spit at fools. It doesn't say throw stones at fools. It doesn't even say criticize fools. It says you can't be a companion of a fool. Let me say this. You say, what's a fool? A fool is someone that knows right and doesn't do it. A fool is someone, and we're going to show you a bunch of verses in Proverbs about a fool. A fool, by the way, please get this. There are more fools in the church than there are in the world. You say, why? Because people in the church, and I don't mean our church. Of course, we would never have a fool at Pacific Baptist Church. Okay? But the church down the street. You say, why? Because people in a church, they learn God's word, and then if they choose not to obey it, they become a fool. Okay? We have wonderful shepherds in our church. When I say shepherds, some of them are teachers, Sunday school teachers, some of them are bus captains, some are just people that love God and love people. And I admire their love for God, their love for people, and their wisdom. And please don't bother. Really, we don't have a bunch of fools in our church. However, there occasionally one slips in here. Okay, And I am encouraged by the wisdom that some of our people have to teach and almost like protect their little sheep from fools. Have you ever invested a bunch of time in someone's life and all of a sudden you see them getting close to the wrong people? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh, my soul, what do I do? You know, do I pull a fire alarm? What do I do? Okay. Letter B is basically the same principle. Look at number one under letter B. And then look over to Proverbs 25 or 22, please. Are you awake on the patio? One person is. Is that you, Brother Jerry? Fire him up out there, would you? Thanks. What are you laughing about? What are they doing out there? Playing pool? Proverbs 22. Everyone is born a fool. Okay? Look at Proverbs 22. Look at verse number 15. We have a family back here from New Jersey. We had another family from New Jersey. Can you introduce yourself? Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Dingus from New Jersey.
What city in New Jersey?
We're from Bentville.
And a church there?
Clifton, New Jersey.
Okay, good. And introduce your family.
My wife's name is
Nice to have your family here. Thank you for coming to visit us. Everyone is born a fool, Proverbs 22, verse 15. Look at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, okay? But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You like that one? Look at the little bullet there. And we're not spending time on corporal punishment, but look at the little bullet under number one there. Corporal punishment was designed by God to drive out foolishness. It is not to be used when a parent is inconvenienced. Spank them when they defy God or his word that have been taught them. You never outgrow spankings, only exchange fathers. Basically, you know, some people say, what do I do with my kid? You know, he's 19 years old, he's living in my house, and oh, you have guidelines. But you know what? God starts to spank him a little bit more than you do. Okay? Godly parents, next bullet, often raise ungodly children because they spank for wrong reasons but violate principle of replacement. Number two, fools are dangerous and vicious. Now look at Proverbs chapter 17. Turn over to Proverbs. Fools are dangerous. Fools are dangerous and vicious. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man. That's her little baby cubs, rather than a fool in his folly. Okay, now, you ever seen any of these little clips on bears and killing things? They're just pretty vicious, okay? I've never tried to mess with a baby bear cub. Now, I've told you the story about my brother-in-law, and we were driving down a back road over there in Crown Point, back in the back there, and there's a road there, it's sort of out in the country, and there's like a little pond there, and a mama duck and little baby ducks walking across the street. And we stopped, and I said, "Hey, go pick up one of those baby ducks," my brother-in-law Trent. He said, "No, man, that duck might attack me." I said, "He won't attack you." You know, I was setting him up. I said, "He wanted to go pick up one of those baby ducks." He got out of the truck. And he goes, he walks over there like nothing. He says, "I'll pick one up." And he picked up the baby duck, and that mama duck, it flew like a jet, low altitude, and it rammed him right in his chest. You say, "What were you doing?" I was laughing. It was so enjoyable. Now, I don't think that duck beak, I don't think there was any blood. You know, there may have been a little red mark. But don't mess with people's babies and don't mess with animals' babies. Now, God says you would rather mess around with a baby bear with a mother there than to mess around with a fool. You know God's saying? Stay away from fools. And we're applying this to our children. Keep, you say, oh, Pastor, by the way, there are many different ways you can be kind and gracious. It doesn't say, again, it doesn't say, you know, shoot BBs at fools. It doesn't say throw rocks at fools. It says don't be a companion of a fool. Don't let your children be a companion of a fool. The Bible says they're vicious. But what if the little fool gets his feelings hurt? That's between him and God. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm protecting my children from being eaten up by a bear. Okay? This verse is God's way of communicating how dangerous a fool is. By the way, Brother Bruce, you got a phone? Got a phone on you? I always get the closest person with a phone. Do you know how our kids are becoming companions of fools? Right there. Right there. Say, oh, Pastor, you mentioned that like every other sermon. It should be every sermon. See, what are we doing? We're trying to protect our children from someone that's vicious, okay? Who was it? We saw a documentary a couple years ago, just a little clip, I think, here. It was on technology, and it just talked about how few friends Jesus had. Someone's trying to call you. I know. Someone's messing around here. Here, let's take this. Yeah, it's probably Dave Lucero. But how few friends Jesus had. Close friends. Okay, look at number three. So fools are dangerous, number one. We see in number three, fools despise wisdom. Look at Proverbs 23, fools. Fools are dangerous, then fools despise wisdom. Look, I have fallen asleep in church more times than I would like to admit. I don't mean while I'm preaching, but I mean when I was in Bible college. I've told you, I mean, our Sunday schedule was really ruthless. And we'd pull the hairs on our legs to stay awake, you know. We would agree with each other to elbow each other. You fall asleep first, boom, you know. So, you know, boom, 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 boom to keep yourself awake. But see, fools, they despise wisdom. In other words, fools can fall asleep if they got 12 hours of sleep last night. They'll fall asleep in church. You say, why? Because they're in church for a reason that they're not supposed to be. In other words, they're not here to learn. They're here, I don't know. I don't mean here, but I mean in a church. Fools despise wisdom. Fools would much, and I'm not, listen, all children are pretty foolish, but I'm glad my son Nathaniel, he said, Dad, can we watch the Adrenaline Judson movie? I'm glad he wanted that wisdom that we've watched it a couple times. I'm glad he's developed that appetite. He doesn't despise wisdom. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. You ever preach somewhere, you teach somewhere, and there's some people, they're like, they're at the end of their seat. Yes, amen, praise God. And there's some people like, okay. They despise, there's no interest, okay. So fools, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. So number one, we see everyone's born a fool. Number two, fools are dangerous and vicious. We see number three, fools despise wisdom. Number four, fools want to argue. Fools are very argumentative. Just always... Okay? Actually, fools make you want to... Now, don't do that. Okay? You can do it in spirit, just don't do it in the flesh. Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips enter into contention. What's that? Contention is just, you know, there's always controversy. Okay? A fool's lips enter in contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. You say, what does that mean? It's almost like this guy is just asking for it. Okay? Now, your radar is getting a little bigger. Okay? Fools are dangerous. Fools don't want to learn, especially words of wisdom from God. You know? Now, maybe if it's for teenagers, oh, man, how to be the coolest guy in the block? Hey, dude, you know, let me watch it. How to live for God? Well, you know, maybe later on. Number five, foolishness ruins your life. Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. It is foolishness that ruins your life. Look at number six. I got to get rolling here. Fools never have anything of value to say. You say, what does that mean? Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Fools never have anything of value to say. By the way, fools have a lot to say. There's nothing to it. By the way, typically fools are funny because they're not spending their time on spiritual things, so they know all the funny things. Fools are sort of goof-offs. I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it. Fools are appeal to our lower nature. And let me say this. We are all, I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a guy, he was just the funnest guy to be with, but I come to find out, he's a fool. I just like to be with him, but I'm like, what I like when I'm with him, it does not do anything for me spiritually. And it's almost like, and I didn't know all these verses, but it's almost like, you know what? And he didn't, actually he did cuss once, Bible college student. But anyway, I'm like, you know what? And I had to separate from him. And truthfully, I liked the guy. I liked to be with him, and he was sort of a fun guy. By the way, you don't have to not be fun to be spiritual. You can be fun and spiritual. But just because someone's fun to be with doesn't mean that's who you need to be with. Okay? I remember when I first got saved, I sort of had to lose all my friends. Actually, they ditched me. I didn't ditch them because they didn't like the things I was. They didn't want to be a part of what I was doing. And I wasn't trying to ditch anybody, but after a while, I'm going, you know what? There's just no value there. There's no value in my fellowshipping with them. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Okay? Fools don't talk about spiritual things. So, well, I don't know. Just because they don't cuss doesn't mean that they're not a fool. They just don't have much to say. That's of value. Look at number seven. Never seek the counsel of a fool. By the way, if your young people are hanging out with fools, guess who they're getting their counsel from? Fools. You wonder why they have that look on their face, because they've been getting bad counsel from a 16-year-old. I got to get that article, the Life magazine. I just want to see what they have to say. And they're just why it's not good for 17-year-olds to hang out with 17-year-olds. Never seek the counsel of a fool. Proverbs 24, I hope that's the verse. Same verse. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Yeah. Look at verse number 8. Running with a fool leads to destruction. We already read this verse. Let's read one more time. Running with a fool leads to destruction. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of a fool shall be destroyed. And that was the premise of this, the beginning of this lesson. Look at number 9. Fools think sin is amusing. Look, I think our church, we're a pretty happy, fun otter. You know what an otter is? Otters, you ever watch otters? Man, they're just having a good time in the water. They come in and out. I think we're a pretty otter church. But we should not laugh about sin. We should not get our kicks about dirty type stuff. Off-color stuff. Fools do. Matter of fact, fools, whether adults, young people, you know where they get their kicks? Right on that line, every once in a while, jumping over in what they say, what they do, looking around to make sure nobody's listening that shouldn't be listening. Okay? Fools have to always look over their shoulder. You say, why? Because they don't know who's going to come up on them when they're talking. Okay? Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin. See, what do? They just cut up about it. Oh, man. But among the righteous, there is favor. Look at number 10. You can learn nothing of value from a fool. Proverbs 15. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. So he's talking about the lips of a wise man. They give knowledge. But the heart of the fool doeth not so. In other words, he doesn't have anything to offer. Look at number 11. You cannot force. By the way, let me say this. Just because somebody has one of these characteristics doesn't mean they're a fool. You say why? Because we all at times act foolish. But if somebody is characterized by all of these, guess what? Beep, 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 beep. The fool detector has gone off. Okay? And again, that if that verse about a fool's not, you know, destroy, it's not going to, if it wasn't going to destroy you, if it wasn't like a bear being robbed of her whelps, if those verses weren't in there, the best thing the fool can do for you is nothing. In other words, they don't have anything to offer. And they don't have anything to offer your children. Okay? Thanks, Brother Jerry. Number 11, you cannot force folly out of a fool. Proverbs 27. How many more do we have here? I think we'll stop here in a minute. You cannot force folly out of a fool. Proverbs 27, verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. It's like, what am I going to do? You're not going to force that out. Look at number 12. Fools twist words of wisdom. Proverbs 26. You know what fools like to do? They like to take something that's true in the Bible. Maybe it's a Sunday school lesson, it's a sermon. They twist it. Proverbs 26, verse number 7. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. You say, what do? They twist words, words of wisdom. Okay? They'll laugh about a sermon. They'll get with their buddies or get with all over America. There's people in church after church. You know what they do? All they do is comment about the sermon. That was dumb. What was that about? Number 13. Or God help us if this would be going on in our home. But there's two daughters, and the two daughters, mom and dad, are teaching. They're having family altar, and the girls go in the back room and say, "Mom and dad don't know what they're talking about." By the way, mom and dad do know what they're talking about. Okay. Look at number 13. Let's go through these real fast. We got 4 minutes. Thanks, Brother Ryan. Fools, number 13. Fools see no need for counsel. They may want sympathy, but not counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In other words, he's saying, hey, listen. I got it all together. Okay? Who doesn't need counsel? Number 14. A woman who undermines her home is a fool. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her home, her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I don't know if in your notes, priority, will this build up my family or tear them down? What's best for my family? Will it help my husband rear or help us to rear our children? Number 15, a fool is given to griping. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. No, in other words, oh, you hear them just griping and griping and griping and griping. They're just gripers, murmurers. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. When you're around a fool complaining, you'll always know what's bothering him. Number 16, fools are quick to share their opinion and philosophies with others. Let's just say this. Very few real quiet people are fools. Now, you don't have to be talkative, but fools are pretty expressive. They're talking all the time. They're sharing their opinions all the time. They don't have to be necessarily outgoing, but like the quiet, a quiet fool is just, yeah, I can't believe this. Why did they say that? I can't believe that. What's this? They don't know what they're talking about. Look at verse number 23, Proverbs 12, verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Look at number 17. God's people are commanded to separate from fools. Proverbs 9. It's implied in Proverbs 13, verse 20, but this is pretty clear. God's people are commanded to separate from fools. Verse 6 of Proverbs 9. Forsake the foolish. See, what does forsake mean? They forsook me. I can't believe they forsook me. What do you mean? Leave them. Don't be with fools. Okay? Forsake, Proverbs 6, 9, 6. Forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. God's people are commanded to separate from fools. If you work, and we're a little bit more specific about applying this to our children, but it's really, these aren't just principles for our children. If you work with foolish people, you have to somehow be careful, because foolish people are dangerous. They're contagious, okay? We can't lock ourselves, you know, Brother Goddard preaches a good sermon on a bubble, you know, we're in this perfect bubble where everything's perfect and, you know, perfect marriage and perfect kids and all of our perfect friends. It's not going to happen. But at the same time, you need to be careful that you're not being influenced by fools. Number 18, we're done. It is a lack of wisdom that destroys a fool's life. Proverbs 10, verse 21. Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die, not necessarily physically, but they die for want or lack of wisdom. Okay, let's stand together. Say, Pastor, what was the message tonight? Let's protect our families from fools. Those of us that have spiritual children, we have to be wise. But more people, more Christians have been destroyed because they develop relationships with fools. Man, John, that documentary just rings through my mind on how we in America have been so indoctrinated. Sensitivity training. Now everything, anytime you say anything negative, poof, you're bad. There's maybe one fool in this church here tonight. They're going to go out here tonight and say, ha, he's just trying to make us all mean-spirited. Do you know where we got that? We've been indoctrinated by that. Man, that was so insightful. It's like, wow. Now, you know, we're indoctrinated in the military. One of our guys said, Pastor, he called me. He said, this is a bad day. I said, what's going on? He said, they are right now taking us through sensitivity training to tell us how we, you know, whatever, need to embrace the homosexuals that come in. You know, it's no longer no ask, no tell, or whatever it is. We love the homosexuals, but that is an ungodly abomination to God. Father, help us. There's so much that...